Welcome back to Bibliosynthesis.
Hello, Hauntiers.
So, we are in the middle of November.
Yeah, I think this is our first time posting our podcast late.
Oh my goodness.
By a day, but, to be fair.
A day.
Or two.
Or two. let's not count time. It's been like very difficult this year.
Oh.
So, seeing as we've actually tapped into NaNoWriMo this month, I think it's appropriate to introduce what's been keeping us up. What's the caffeine for today?
Oh, well, today is Jacob's Midday Citrus Embers from the Miss Mary Lou collection.
Ooh la la.
So let's pour a cup.
Ooh, it's hot. It is hot. Oh, goodness, it's hot.
So while that's happening, let me explain a little bit about the inspiration behind this. Jacob, who happens to be Mary's fiancé, or is it fiancé? Is it fiancé?
Whichever one actually asked first.
He and I have fairly similar palates when it comes down to tea. He's not really a black tea person. I'm a black tea person, but I also really love oolongs, and he likes smoky, kind of woodsy note oolongs. So, when I was asked to make the collection for Mary, she wanted things inspired by her daily life, and I made a tea for Jacob, and that's this. So, it has blood orange notes, it has, like, tardy hibiscus, and I find that tardier teas actually curb, like, appetite and also keep you going.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know about you, but when I'm stressed, I munch on everything.
Yeah, I'm there too. I'm there too.
So I try to tend to go to tardier teas when I'm writing. Not always, but in this case I have, just because it's like pure fuel, hope, and a prayer at this point. And I'm hoping that fuel doesn't come from sugar. So I am having this delicious blood orange smoky oolong tea.
All right.
So, cheers.
Cheers.
Yep.
Oh, I forgot how delightful this one is.
Yeah.
It's a lot more complex than the rest of the Miss Mary Lou stuff.
In your opinion?
My opinion, I think. Because there are actual, like, multiple notes in it.
Well, I feel like most of the Mary Lou collection was made to be really cozy. Yes. Whereas this one, I feel like this one's just that pick-me-up.
Yeah.
Yeah, whereas the Morning Rose is kind of the most popular. And that's just like a nice classic sweet English breakfast with Earl Grey and rose petals in it kind of vibe. And then the Hobbitses is kind of inspired from like bedtime stories. So it's like just cozy sage and apricot. But this one's a little like pick me up. It stands out.
Okay.
Yeah, it doesn't have that sweet note to it at all.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just find it so funny that the other one is called Hobbitses. Like, I never think, you know, bedtime when I think of hobbits. I think of, like, tiny little people, like, screwing around with your cornfield and, you know, going to Ents and actually convincing them, yeah, you're on the wrong side of history, my friend.
Oh, well, the Hobbitses are actually her kitties.
Yes, I remember.
And trust me, if you follow her Instagram stories, that is pretty much all she posts, is just these little fluff balls on a couch, relaxing. and that's what inspired that tea.
Okay.
So.
Lovely.
Yeah.
So, we are.
We are still in season two.
We're in season two.
We're two episodes away, right?
Don't have me count. Like, counting is bad right now.
Okay.
But, ironically, I am actually prepared for the collaboration in writing subject today.
Okay, so Eugene is playing host today.
Yes.
Is it because I'm the one doing all the writing and...
Oh, goodness, yes.
I will confess, Eugene definitely had to rope me down to record this episode.
Yeah. Writing NaNoWriMo is, like, I guess it's semi-addictive,
I guess. Well, it is, but also just running a small business right before the holiday rush happens.
That would do it.
Has just been... It's been trying, and I knew it was going to happen, but I'm still doing NaNoWriMo in solidarity with all of you writers out there. And for fun, I also am raising funds on Facebook for a charity.
Yes.
So if you'd like to fund me and my writing journey, all proceeds go to the Elevation Society to prevent suicide. And give high school students a place to basically talk about their frustrations and learn how to talk to the people in need that have suicidal tendencies in their lives.
Holidays are here, people.
Yeah.
It's real. It's gonna happen.
And especially with all of the craziness of 2020, I feel such a need to help.
Yeah.
And, I mean... Yeah.
It's a bit rough.
Writing's my escape, so I'm hoping people could find an escape.
Yes, their own solace.
Anyways, so we're talking about collaborating.
Yes.
Let's dive in. I did ask for your help in a chapter.
Yeah, yeah.
Of my novel. It was like, 2 days ago?
Yeah, we were writing about how two guys talk at a restaurant.
Yes, and I have to admit, there was a bathroom scene that you suggested, and at first I was completely embarrassed to do it.
Oh, come on, it's like important to men.
Well, apparently it's important to men, but I would have no clue, which is one of the reasons why I
had to.
Asked for your help.
Yes.
yeah, so, and it worked out really well.
Yeah, that it did. So, I guess we'll talk about that and this article and see how everything collides.
Great, let's dive in.
Ironically, this is on wordcounter.net.
No, what's that website about?
Basically, just talking about writing, to be honest. This whole website is just nothing
word about counting? Writing. Yeah, that seems to be my days.
Yeah, yeah. Obviously, that's going to be for, like, the novelists out there.
I just barely hit the 10K, which is the 20% mark of NaNoWriMo.
Oof.
So, I'm a little behind, but I'm an experienced enough writer. I think I can make it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, here we go. Okay. The article is all about collaborative writing. Tips to successfully work together.
Okay.
All right. So the first one is, identify why you need or want to collaborate. You can simply not handle the work alone, or does the collaboration actually need an expertise?
Well, I'm definitely not a guy. Okay. And I definitely don't understand men culture to the fullest.
Men culture?
I don't know what you would call that, but that's why I called you in, because I knew that the chapter was about two men.
Yes.
Talking, kind of tiptoeing around a very uncomfortable subject.
Yes.
And I just didn't know how to write that.
Okay, okay.
Which is ironic, because the chapter prior to that, it's a reflection of the previous chapter of two girls having a girls' night in.
Yes.
And I just wanted to show the contrast.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess, do you want to explain the scene? Because I know it's like two guys, but you got uncomfortable when I wrote about a scene where the two guys are talking and one of them actually gets so exhausted with a conversation that he has to just go to the bathroom for solace.
Yes. So I'm used to girls, I guess, either internalizing their feelings or trying to be proper. We fought over that but we definitely argued about it. I couldn't quite understand why a guy would just get up in the middle of a conversation and go to the bathroom, but you had to explain that to me.
Yeah, and it was kind of awkward because, like, to me, I was just writing, and suddenly you felt like, oh my gosh, that was impolite. I'm like, I'm sorry, but guys do unzip when they actually go.
Right.
And I don't know. I guess that kind of opinion, like, was startling to me because I'm like, what do you think we do?
Well, okay, let's start with this. I would have never guessed to write a scene in a bathroom.
Oh.
At least my taste is right. Not the type that would write a scene in the bathroom.
Yeah.
Let alone a conversational piece in a bathroom. And isn't that kind of like the no-no for guys? You're not supposed to talk in the bathroom.
You're not supposed to. But
they did. Well, he broke the rules, right?
Right.
Okay.
The character that he was speaking to was always makes people feel uncomfortable.
Right.
Just because he's so flamboyant and he just exhausts you with too much conversation, never getting to the point.
Right.
So, either way, that was fun. That was fun.
Yeah.
Second, I guess tip here is choose someone you trust.
Well.
Hi.
Hi. I guess a little back history before we even got together, we were writing together.
Yes.
Right?
Exactly. Exactly. Originally it was a manga project.
Oh, and now, ladies, I'm a bit of a dense person here, but I realize all those times you came over to read my stories, you could have read them on the internet.
Could I?
But you wanted to read them in person, and you had a reason to come over.
Well, good times.
Yeah. That was pretty cute. Good move.
Yeah.
Yeah, we've been writing for, do we even want to date ourselves? Like, early 2000, for sure.
Right.
So practically almost 20 years.
Yeah, and in every format, mind you.
Yes. So this is our first time co-writing a novel. I mean, it's not really co-writing, I'm writing the majority of it, but I do ask for you to come in.
I basically write the script, and you write, I guess, further into the descriptions and what else could be done.
You're definitely helping me with dialogue, and it spices things up.
Right.
Yeah.
It's been fun. The next tip here is clearly assign tasks and deadlines. We definitely have a deadline.
Yes, we do.
Almost.
Yeah.
It's almost taking over.
Well, it's the halfway point today, so yes. If you want to cheers to that.
Oh, yes.
Oh.
Will we make it to 50, though?
Okay, we will.
Okay.
Don't doubt my awesomeness.
I will not doubt your awesomeness. seems that I'm tasked to write about how guys talk to each other. So, that's an interesting one. I mean, like, a lot of authors and authoresses try to do it themselves, and sometimes it doesn't sound right. Am I correct?
Yeah. So, again, this is, if you guys are following my checkups and check-ins, I guess check-ins.
Check-ins, yeah.
We are finally trying to pull together the beginning of the series of the Fate Pendulum series, which is something that Eugene and I have been writing for
long time.
Quite some time.
Just a long time.
and we were very successful with our play of it. Which I actually started writing the novel as kind of a gift to you. And it just took off from there. There was so much interest in it. And the characters. And every time we tell people this story, they just, like, fall in love with it. I know that sounds really pretentious, but I'm just really grateful that people like the story as much as we do. So I've many a times tried to write it solo on my own. And I realized there was at a point where there was literally only, like, one girl in the entire cast of, like, 10 characters. I was writing it.
Yeah.
And it felt very isolating, and it was very easy for me to write into a Mary Sue type character because I just wanted to write that one particular character because I mean, it was kind of like defeating the point. So then we kept rewording it, and over time, we created a vast timeline, and then more women came in, and then finally the field pretty much evened out.
Yeah, I mean, we just had to switch some of the characters from male to female. Yeah. And suddenly, a new light came about.
But it really changed up the dynamic, and it evened out the field, I think. And so that was a whole different thing. So now we finally have these, I guess, more grounded characters. Right. They're not just stereotypes or just, you know, like one-dimensional
characters.
Yeah. So, but the challenge has been just kind of, you've known for the longest time that you have these characters and you had them, and now it's just putting them all together and almost like throwing them in a first meeting.
Yeah.
And that's sort of the uncomfortableness that I've been going through NaNoWriMo, but it's been really nice to just have a variety of dynamics and upbringings of these characters and different sexes. So
beautiful.
But it is also quite the challenge.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next tip we have here is make sure you can communicate. Basically, is it someone you're comfortable collaborating with? Can you talk to them? How do you talk to them?
We're pretty rude to each other when we write, I would say.
Yeah.
I think that's just...
Well, literally, writing in collaboration actually tests your temper a lot.
Yeah.
I know there are people out there that actually make promises to each other, like, our friendship means too much for a project to get in the way, so I'd rather choose our friendship over our project. But then there are people that say, no, I prefer the project.
So where do you think we stand? Because I feel like we're fortunate enough to have done this enough that we know when to turn it on and off.
Right. I think we've always chosen us. Mm-hmm. Because it's taken us years to actually write this.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. So. But, I mean, coming from our background, people know, if you've been following, that I went to art school. And part of art school is the joy of getting brutally critiqued on the daily.
On the daily.
But I feel like it just made me a better writer, because originally I was so sensitive about editing that now I'm not.
Yeah.
Because it's just part of the process now. You just accept that. And you don't kind of have this, like, falsity, like, oh, my writing is my art, and it's a one-hit wonder, you just gotta do it on the fly, and you never wanna, like, dilute its pure essence. But, like, it's kind of turned from that into this constant molding, working, redoing, re-editing until you have like this masterpiece. Like, you're just buffing away at it slowly until it finally shines.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah. And as for myself, I'm either a people pleaser or just, you know, I feel like I'm a pretentious wordsmith sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I can copy other people's writing styles,
mm-hmm.
which sadly has deterred me from actually having my own. And I feel like whenever I do try to be my own writer, I sound a little rude, maybe a little cynical.
Okay.
You know? I mean, it's kind of good for journalism, but when it comes down to story, you know, styles, like scripts, novels, that kind of ordeal, like, it kind of lacks a little bit of a soul, which is where my frustration usually comes from. But either way, you know me. I throw out my old writing if I'm actually dissatisfied.
Yeah, see, I don't do that.
Yeah. next tip is make sure you fight well.
Do we fight well?
Oh, we fight so well. We scream at each other. We throw each other. We throw things at each other. I mean, like, I'm kind of happy, you know? Like, you're part Irish. It kind of shows. And that fighting spirit actually helps, because we're both kind of stubborn, and communication is not exactly easy when it has to deal with your baby, you know?
I guess my best advice is, if you're feeling an emotional, like, if you feel something in the middle of co-writing, just let it out and say it right away. Nip it at the butt. Don't let it ruminate, because it just tampers with the end goal.
Right.
Like, the end goal is to get it done at X set amount of time and to do it together. So if you're holding back from your partner, then you're holding back the goal.
Exactly.
Because you're not co-writing at that point.
It's a lot of walls to actually tear down.
Yeah.
So.
You have to be brutally honest.
Yeah.
And we have gotten into many fights. I mean, I was thinking about the last time I did NaNoWriMo for... I skip around with this series a lot, but it was like the ending. And the characters had changed drastically.
Oh, yeah.
Like, this was, like, several years in the future. And you were just so mad at me.
Yeah.
For the way that a character was acting, because he became sort of the protagonist and villain. He was, like, used.
Well, it wasn't just that. It was just the development of the character. I felt like it just didn't justify what he was.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, he was... We were very upset, and there was a point where I had to, like, kind of at one point write in secret away from you.
Yeah.
Because it just upset you so much, and of course that failed.
Right.
We came to a stalemate. Yeah. I mean, it's still there.
Yeah.
I'm gonna pick it up. Now you understand it.
Well, now that we're actually writing more.
From the beginning, yes. And it makes sense, but again, you know, it pulled us apart.
Right.
So yeah.
Next tip is specify payment arrangements up front.
Oh.
That's not hard.
Ooh.
You write, I publish. What else is there?
I've had you bribe me with tea and stuff before.
Yeah, that was fun.
Reward systems never really work when it comes down to writing novels.
Which is why I'm trying to do my best nowadays to start... you know, giving advances to people.
Mm. It's
just...
As a publisher.
It's hard now. It's much harder now. I mean, yes, we made a bigger pie thanks to the internet. Yes, there are smaller slices for everybody to take. But we never created a plan beyond that. You know? Now the big four, or big five, again, basically a new guy came in, the Macmillan... What was this? They're going nuts with merchandisers. They're, like, working as hard as possible, and they're spending more money, even though they're not making as much.
Mm-hmm.
And then self-publishers now are now becoming publishers, and the problem of becoming a publisher still hasn't been fixed. Amazon is literally taking over the world. So, I don't know where the money's coming from. Anyways. Moving forward. The next one is specify credit arrangements up front.
You
know, who is author, who is co-author, who is, you know, are you guys actually equal partners? Are you going to call yourself something? I mean, who was it? The Browns, was it? That used to just be known as just the couple that would actually write poetry? I'm not sure. It was it was during the Romantics era.
Hmm.
Yeah. Yeah, never mind. Either way, there are like
couples. I'm like sitting here on the edge of my seat. Who is this Brown person?
Forget it.
Let's see.
I mean, at this point, would I actually be credited?
I don't know.
A co-writer
for you. Do you want to be credited? I mean, it's such a small...
I'd like to be contributor, at least.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's okay in novels. I mean, I know it's okay in, you know, magazines and such.
Yeah.
So, because writing just one, I guess, chapter... is not really something you'd actually use as co-authoring, you know, but...
Yeah, and it was just the dialogue, too, so...
Yeah. I know there are professors out there that actually take advantage of that. They just write an intro and suddenly they're, you know, they're co-writers.
That's terrible.
Well, they don't make money off of it, so...
That's terrible.
Arrangements happen, you know? Like, it gets weird once you get to the contracts.
Man.
I know.
I don't even want to get started on that.
No, that's left for a whole other episode. next one is, what happens if one partner decides to walk away or die?
Well, that just got dark really quick.
Wow.
I don't know why that reminds me of Good Omens.
Yes.
Terry Pratchett.
Oh!
Man, I still haven't watched that documentary, but they actually talked about how he tried to continue writing Discworld all the way through his Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm just curious what that's like.
Yeah.
Because I remember watching, the first 5 minutes of it, and I know he had, an assistant.
Yes.
That he would record himself, and then I think the assistant would kind of polish things. I don't know if he, edited or wrote, but I don't know. If anyone's watched it, let me know. Should probably check that out.
Yeah, I think what was scary was, I think he chose euthanasia.
I think so, because it was called, Choosing to Die or something.
Yeah, but this is, probably in the middle of the project. I mean, if I walked away from a collaboration, I don't think it would be so hurtful for you, because you know the story. You're writing the story.
I mean, I've just researched oodles on it.
But if you had, a full-on collaboration, our plays...
Then it would be a problem.
Yeah. Yeah, it would be a problem. Because, you know, you and I, we would claim characters. How would they talk? How would they react? And there comes a point where we have to rewrite an entire scene just because
That is true, now that I think about it. I would always set up the scenes, right? And then you would follow with dialogue, or you would pick a specific character.
Exactly.
I know with Journey Seekers, I did all the poetry intros for the doll. I think you did a lot of Layden
and the conductor.
Yeah.
And you took Rosette. Yeah. So if I walked out,
it would have been weird.
It would have been very weird.
Awkwardly weird. It would have.
So the defeated, the defeatist that the conductor was would feel as defeat.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, just to be a little frank, your characters, they're such fighters. You have a hard time explaining actual defeat.
Mm.
You know people that want to keep going, want to keep trying, even if it, means to just be completely, destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
But to give up,
that's hard. Not in my vocabulary.
No, it's not! It's hard for you.
Which is why NaNoWriMo is on my list this November.
Cheers.
Oh my goodness.
But, yeah. A defeatist is more of a healer. They have to actually take care of themselves. They have to. But either way, moving forward, the next tip is protect yourself.
Hmm.
Yeah. Basically, do you have backups? Is there, issues with a contract? Are you going to be able to keep anything after you finish collaborating? Are you the co-writer when you were supposed to be the author?
Since we are being candid, I know a thing that's frustrating for me is I'm usually, the person that does all the setups and the contracts and such.
Right.
But over time, since you've become a publisher, we've switched roles.
Right.
And I know you're more verbal and expressive. I wrote this. I did this. I'm a writer. Even though we're co-writers, and sometimes that kind of hurts.
Right.
Because I always have, this complex every now and then, is anything I write mine?
Right.
Because you take so much credit for everything.
Yeah.
Even with T-Spectral, there was a point where you were just so proud that you're like, it's my company, it's my company. And I'm like, man, I'm the one whose name is on that lease. I don't know what you're talking about, but then I had to kind of realize that that's just the way you are. You're just excited about things.
Well, you should.
And it's nothing personal.
I mean, personally, I'd encourage you to actually do the same, because, like, being in entertainment, being in the eyes of the public, which, as an authoress, a published authoress, you should be proud. You should actually exhaust people with your own praise, because people don't know.
But see, that's just not in my character. Like, even yesterday, I'm not going to go into details, but we were having that huge business meeting.
Right.
And our colleague had to come out and be like, she's really, really humble about when she says these things. Like, trust me, she has, like, years of experience. She's certified as a sommelier.
You're a tea consultant.
Yeah, come I'm on. A tea consultant, which is kind of crazy because I actually do that for a living now.
Don't want to call yourself.
I just don't like talking about it. I mean, for the few that listen to this podcast, now you know that's kind of what's been keeping us afloat during 2020.
Huzzah.
Because the school systems are so messed up, and don't get me started on that. And I love teaching, but I can't deal with teaching right now. So I hopped back into the tea industry, and now I'm a professional tea consultant that's trying to help a lot of these businesses that have been around for years just think of new ideas to navigate, like, being shut down.
Yeah.
And that's what I do as a day job if it's not tea spectral.
Yeah. I guess the easiest way to kind of describe Steph is she's Diego de la Vega. Rich, he has a mansion, but he is quiet. He doesn't want anyone to bother him.
Yep, I can totally agree with that.
And then afterwards, he's Zorro. You know, flashy, you know, though wearing all black, he just messes with the cops and just helps the poor. And that is an awkward thing for me, because I always thought maybe perhaps you were more like a Bruce Wayne, where Bruce Wayne is actually more flashy.
Oh, Bruce Wayne is hella flashy. I don't think I could ever.
And then Batman's the one that's like, I'm just a myth. Ooh.
Batman's the real townie. You know, he's out there grabbing beers and picking chicks out there. Right.
So, yeah. But that's it for the article of all the tips. I mean, is there anything that you disliked? Is there something that you would have actually added to the whole, you know, mix here?
I think setting up schedules and setting up boundaries, I don't think they talked about that very much.
I don't think you can. I mean, it's very different for every person.
Yeah.
I mean, some people, they like to actually talk about sexuality or violence or, I guess, even getting as far as political issues within their writing, while others are just uncomfortable with that. You know, it just deters from the story, or it actually misinforms the reader that it's something else. It's not about making cheese Gruyere.
What?
Yeah, something
that's random.
Well, I'm trying to say, like, what does politics have to do with that? But I could go right ahead and actually add it in. But either way, you know what I mean.
Oh, here's something we can talk about. What are some of your favorite co-written books, and do you know any of the history on them? I mean, I brought up Good Omens.
Yeah, knowing that's literally mine.
Does everybody? Okay, I'm just curious. Has anyone started a drinking game every time Eugene brings up Neil Gaiman?
Oh, that would be a fun drinking
because
game.
Because I'm sorry, I'm sure a lot of you have a lot of hammering.
Oh my goodness.
But yeah, I remember the talk about that and how, like, that was Gaiman's first real break in his opinion. Right. Of his career, and he said he felt like he couldn't even keep up with Pratchett.
No, he even imitated Pratchett at his lectures, saying, you know, like, you know, get up, you lazy bastard. And just, like, he just would wake him up to actually start
writing. To a phone call, wasn't it? Like, he'd leave, like, these huge detailed messages of all the notes he wanted changed.
Exactly.
I loved reading about Julia Child creating her cookbook with Simone.
Oh, yeah.
And how eventually the ladies separated because they couldn't agree on mainly just what should represent French culture in the culinary world. I thought that was fascinating.
What's a funny one for me? Okay, for all you Bible nerds out there, the Book of Mark.
Was that co-written?
Oh, yeah, it's Peter's book.
Oh.
Okay, Mark was basically his disciple. I don't know what it is. I guess Peter just didn't want to write. And Mark actually wrote his side.
Hmm.
And it was kind of nice. It was kind of interesting. I mean, like, you can't get Peter's voice in it, of course. But, you know, a lot of people don't realize that was actually a co-written project.
I don't know the name of the authors offhand, but the Starcatcher series in Disney Publishing.
Yeah.
The retelling of Peter Pan.
Right.
I just thought that was so fascinating. Like, I remember reading the book, enjoying it, and then reading about the authors and finding out that they were, like, sports newscasters. And,
oh.
And they just wanted to switch out to that, so they have, like, a different pen name. That was really strange.
No, that happens a lot, actually.
Yeah, but I was, like, really, like, from children's fantasy to... That. From, I guess, from sports to children's fantasy, it was kind of...
I mean...
Something I had a hard time, like, seeing, but I guess it made sense.
The Boxcar Children.
Was that co-written?
By, like, 10 people.
Well, isn't that, like, the Babysitter's Club? Right?
Yeah. No, yeah. Basically, that trend where, like, they take, like, teams of writers and they would actually just publish these books, like, 1 month after the next. It was insane.
I know for Game of Thrones, remember how Martin had to constantly tell the HBO producers the whole story plot?
Yeah.
Because they were afraid that he would die.
Yes.
Before he could finish the books, so they would finish the series.
And we all know what happened to the finale.
Yeah, but I can't even imagine.
I think a lot of us would like to forget.
Yeah. So. See, when I was younger, I always had, like, fantasies of, like, at least having my first three books done in the works before I could, like, pitch it to a publishing house. Because I felt like I would have more buying power saying, listen, these are done or these can be done, and then I have X amount more.
Yeah.
And that's always been, like, my thing. But I think I got that fear from Martin.
Oh.
So...
Well, ironically, with as many, like, rejection letters I've gotten from publishing houses back in the day, I felt like people should have actually submitted as many books as they could.
Yeah.
Manuscripts. Because you get to actually know the editor after a while.
See, that's another thing I've come to realize over the years is just... If you're rejected from one publishing house, it doesn't mean you're good or you're bad. I mean, it could just... That's only part of the story, right? Like, it's also, are you a good fit?
Exactly. Because their market is personal, I guess. You know?
Yeah, I mean, you're spending so much time with these people. I mean...
Yeah, they literally feel like you're... boyfriend or girlfriend, like, once you get into the production of, you know...
I guess the best way of describing it is, like, you put your resume out for jobs, and have you ever had, like, interviews where you've gone in and you're like, I am so qualified for this job, but I do not want to be here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Or, like, the boss wants me so bad, but I don't know if this is gonna work. It doesn't
look like it's gonna work out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
So, oh, and also being an editor makes you a co-writer. It's just you get to actually call yourself the editor instead.
Ooh, fancy.
I know, right? And depending on the contract, you're able to get a slice of the author's royalties.
Interesting.
Yeah, at least traditionally.
Okay.
It's a small slice, but still a slice. So, beyond that, would you encourage people to collaborate as writers?
Okay, so out of all the technicalities we've gone through, I would have to say it would have to fall naturally.
Like,
Like, you would just have to know the person enough and then be like, hey, can I co-write with you?
Okay. Okay.
I think makes the best relationships.
Yeah. Because, like, I've had close friends actually ask me to co-write with them. And I've had to, I guess, deter myself from them because... Have you ever noticed, like, new writers, when they start, it feels like they're just trying to, like, explore who they are rather than actually explore the story?
Or interject who they are. I mean, aside from you, the other person I've co-written with in the past... Well, there were two people I've co-written with.
Right.
So, the first one, I guess her energy was too sporadic.
Right.
For me. And okay. It just did not work. I ended up doing most of the work. Because yeah. She just couldn't organize her thoughts, and it was messy. The second one I wrote with, he was just calm. Like, and I was a calm personality. I kind of am between the two of us, but it was just too, like, nothing happened.
Yeah.
And I felt like when the story finally ended, it was so flat, and I hated it. I'm trying to think if I've co-written with anyone else. I have co-written with them. Wow. I've been around. Oh. I feel kind of dirty now. Another person I co-wrote with, I could tell that he was, like, more obsessed with the aesthetics of it. Mm. And I think it's also different because, you know, we would do comic book scripts. Right. Well, this was a comic book script. The other ones were, I think, short stories. But, yeah, it was... I don't know. It just wasn't my thing. It was just too flashy for me.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Like, when I tried to subdue it and put some kind of meaning into it, it still came out flash and boom.
Yeah. That makes sense.
So, it just didn't work out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess I'm not estranged to co-writing aside from you. It's just... I think you're the only one that kind of takes it as seriously as I do. Okay. So maybe that's another thing. Like, what's the end goal?
Right.
Is it just a hobby for the co-writer? Or are you serious about it? Can you see it, like, as... What do they call it in business? Like, is it sustainable?
Yes.
Or scalable?
Yes.
Is it scalable? Are you looking for a scalable piece?
Yeah.
You know, something that can escalate and eventually be published.
Right. So I guess, yeah,
that's a really important thing.
That's really it. I mean, if you both can believe in the dream here, then there shouldn't be too much of a problem.
Yeah.
Too much. I won't say that there won't be any problems when co-writing. Because obviously...
There will always be problems.
Yeah. you're too creative.
It's exhausting.
Trying to fight for the same
and
world.
And ready yourself for that exhaustion, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anything you want to add?
Don't pretend that the project is completely yours.
Mm.
You can go right ahead and brag that the project is yours, but it is not completely yours. You can go right ahead and probably bump off the collaborator, but the minute that collaborator is gone and people start asking how your next book is doing, you're going to realize that you don't have the same voice.
Mm-hmm.
You won't, okay? So give credit where the credit is due.
Yeah.
So that's it.
Yeah.
So being that, we have NaNoWriMo to continue.
Yes.
And, we hope that everyone else is actually doing okay. I know that, you know, for the NaNoWriMo writers out there, it's a lonely time because you're trying to do your best to finish this project. 50,000 words.
And it takes a lot of time.
Really does.
I think as a novelist, you need to realize that your writing time, you have to double. Not because you can't finish, but... You need that extra time afterwards to relax.
And be yourself.
Yeah, because I think the thing I'm struggling with right now, because I'm so busy, is just... It's not writer's block. It's like a... Like, there's a wall there just because you're so tired of chewing words out, you know?
Yes. repeating words.
Yeah, or talking about this subject when your mind wants to go elsewhere.
Oh, yeah.
And it's not that it's not a good book that you want to share. It's just your mind wants to go elsewhere. It feels like it needs to be tending to other things.
Yes.
So that's my struggle lately.
I completely felt that last night.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was supposed to edit a novel last night. And I just could not get in the mindset. So yeah. I went ahead and actually started writing articles for this other client. And I'm just like, oh my goodness, I can keep going. You know, heck, we kept going for like 3 hours quietly on our own laptops.
Yeah, we did.
And I still didn't finish. I mean, I still have to actually get the actualities and, you know, quotes and such. But yeah, it does something to you when you actually write for that long, or if you've written about the same subject for too long.
Yeah. I mean, I will say something that was hopeful is it was really painful to write the first couple of days.
Yes.
And I felt like I lost it. Like, oh God, do I need training wheels? You know, but it's like riding a bike. You just instantly remember, and my word count has been picking up.
Yes.
And gaining. So it's just something you have to constantly work at.
I mean, personally, I feel like we need some reading time.
Yeah.
I need to actually...
Well, what are you reading right now?
Me? I'm literally reading nonfiction stuff. I just picked up Freakonomics. And this is, like, the extended edition, too. And I also picked up a legal writing book, like this textbook. And right now, I'm actually in the middle of proofing Luke's book. We had to actually reassign the release date to November 20th.
Oh, my.
Obviously, you know, maybe just little details here and there. Like, we had to kind of, like, fix graphics, etc. But it's just how publishing goes. And it's just how the printers go. And I love these printers. They care about the book. You know, they will stall your production for the sake of finishing your project properly.
Nice.
So yeah, that's been me. What about you?
So lately I've been really inspired by time and timelines, and especially with this election that happened, or like the voting process.
Yeah.
You never realize the timeline and the way things work, and like it's just interesting to be in a part of like living history and feeling just everything kind of fall in place like Legos on this, like,
right.
So I've just been considering like where my mindset was with a previous election or the election before that, and I've been backtracing and kind of seeing what the pop culture was back then.
Right.
So I actually picked up, I think it's called Chuck Palahniuk. Is that his last name? I can never pronounce it. But he's the guy who wrote Fight Club.
Yes.
I picked up Lullaby. And I know our old roommate was actually in a production of Lullaby. And I just never got into it. But now that I'm older, it's just seeing the political climate referred to it, like, just affecting the way the writing is so fascinating to me.
Yeah.
I know that Lindsay and Jonas did a thing on Washington Irving and the bicentennial of Sleepy Hollow recently, but just studying Washington Irving, but for me, it's been, like, Nathaniel Hawthorne and how he, like, swore he was cursed because his family was associated with the Salem witch trials, and a lot of people don't know that. Okay. And just how that affected his writing over the years. And I'm not a major teacher these days, but I have been teaching to a few clients U.S. history, and just, it is Native American History Month, by the way. Right. So we've been talking about, like, how the Americans and the Dutch and everything dealt with the original Native Americans when they first came here. And it's nice to see history written like including all sides now versus when I was in grade school and seeing their sides.
Yes.
And junior high. And it's just really fascinating. So that's been really inspiring me because I think we're just kind of fed this trope that everything is tragic.
Yeah.
But there was a lot of wins in history where, like, the first reservations were built in agreement with certain...
Right.
And they were made to preserve. And, like, there were parts where the Dutch very specifically wanted to preserve the Native American cultures and give them their space. There was a lot of... Not a lot. There were parts where they would buy the land fair and square from the Native Americans. Yes. And it was just... It's super cool. It is documented.
So...
And the peace treaties and all that. Yeah. So that's been really inspiring me lately. I put a little bit of that into my writing. You saw that.
Yeah.
And it kind of whiplashed me back to, like, we were talking about this before, but my favorite TV show series is Dark Shadows.
Yes.
And that's been, like, such an awesome influence on me writing, because that feeling of the 1960s culture mixed with, like, 1800 curses.
Yes.
I have that vibe, like, modern world with these, like, historic curses. So it's all kind of just mixing, and it's been a really fun time.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
Oh, and I found how you say his last name.
Oh, how do you say it?
Paula Newick.
Paula Newick. Okay. Well, yeah. I'm coming for you, Chuck Paula Newick.
Yes. Fight Club.
I feel like it's like a grown-up version of Lemony Snicket. Lullaby reads okay. like that. Because Lemony Snicket goes and does the whole research on the Baudelaire kids because Beatrice is their mother. I'm, like, spoiling it.
Right.
If you've made it this far, I hope to God that you've read...
Spoiler alert!
...that you've read Series Unfortunate Events. But his love was actually children to the Baudelaire orphans. Or...
What? What do you mean?
Beatrice is the mother of the Baudelaires.
Oh. Okay.
She married the Baudelaires. Like, she married, I forgot the dad's name, something Baudelaire, had kids with him, but Lemony Snicket was actually in love with Beatrice before she chose to marry this guy.
Right.
And never got over it.
Right.
And so, finding out what happened to their parents, who died in the fire,
yes,
and finding out what happened to the kids was his, like, love homage to Beatrice to, like, right wrongs.
Yeah.
And try to discover and put an end to this, like, generational curse from their secret society. But Lullaby reads similarly. Because it's actually about a guy who's a journalist, and he finds out that a bunch of these kids are dying in their cribs. And nobody can figure out why. And it's just, like, it's, like, constant. They think it might be, like, a defect in the crib. It might be a gas leak. They don't know. Like, everybody's just trying to figure this out.
Yeah.
And his family died because of this. His daughter and his wife died in that way. So he's researching these murders and covering the story in order to try to find answers to it. And I won't spoil what happens next.
Yeah.
But it gets really dark. And, yeah, it's all set in, like, early 2000.
Nice.
So I remember what it was like going through early 2000.
Yeah.
In college.
Yeah.
In the angst and just the culture and the political climate.
Yeah.
And that's been really influencing me. So full circle, I guess.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. It's like giving me flashbacks of the boiler room. Oof.
Yeah, so you get where I'm coming from. It's like, it's really fascinating that we grew up in that culture and it was just, like, our thing. But now that we're older, it's historical.
It is.
And it's kind of trippy, isn't it?
It really is. It really is.
You know, like, I see all these kids running around in 90s clothes and I'm like, hey, my mom used to dress like that. And it's just weird to be in a piece of time where, I guess, art wants to mimic it.
Yes.
Yeah, like a piece of your life.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it totally makes sense. I mean, I feel like that's where the idea came from, write what you know.
You know,
it was just a huge deal for everybody.
Yeah, but see, you just let, like, the novel out of the box, so I went on, like, a 10-minute banter.
Oh, no, that's fine. That's great. I mean, personally, I'm tired of actually hearing myself when I type things down. I just need a different voice, you know? I just... Oh, I mean, I feel like because we're Angelenos, mm-hmm. we talk really fast. You know, we could go through...
I never noticed that until I was told that.
Yeah.
And it's weird because, like, right now I'm working with some people in the South.
Yes.
And they tell me the same thing. I'm like, really?
Yeah. And we're too honest. We're candid.
Yeah.
You know, we don't hold back. And then you start reading, I don't know, like, forgive me. I read Nora Roberts for about a week.
That's so random.
I know! I'm sorry. I was just so curious. Like, I don't know how many times we're going to have to go to Ralph's and just see these same exact authors. And I'm just like, what's the big deal? You know, what is it? I mean, like, at least with one Harley Quinn novel, you've read them all. But then all of a sudden, like, you see, like, the other, you know, authoresses. And I just had to try.
Okay.
Just had to. And it felt like I was watching Lifetime.
Huh.
With my mom.
Fun. Fun times.
I know. But it was a different voice. And it was refreshing, to be honest.
Hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely hearing your own voice through a character is something hard. Oh, I can talk about a good thing in NaNoWriMo that I can't believe it took this long.
Okay.
Giving myself permission to, I guess, show the weird side of things in a paranormal thriller.
All right.
Like, because I'm always obsessed with that feeling of it has to feel like a normal day, and then there's that, like, slight difference that makes it eerie.
Yeah.
But finally, like, upon the, what, first or second chapter, you get encounters with demons. You get to see it through a demon's eyes. Like, what does sensing the veil feel like?
Yeah.
And that's been really fun, because it's like giving myself permission to do that, because this is the intro of this world, so diving right into it is great.
That's lovely.
Yeah, that's been a breakthrough.
Okay.
Yeah.
I noticed that that's actually pretty hard for a lot of people. Like, when you write down a world, it's obvious to you, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So you try to make hintish moves here and there. But no one gets it once they start reading your book unless you actually are obvious about something.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So it was rather refreshing
to
actually see that. It was really nice. I mean, like, in a play, not hard. We go right ahead and actually set everybody up in their costumes, and then the, you know, wave crashing noises in the background, or, you know, New York City, like, oh, is this honking here and there?
Yeah.
So that's...
Yeah, so that was really fun, and just leaning into that has been really good.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
But I guess we should get back to our novel, or at least I should.
Exactly.
But yeah, thank you guys for joining us. If you are interested in Jacob's Midday Citrus Embers, not only does it support T Spectral and this podcast, but it also supports Miss Mary Lou, who is a Twitch streamer. And her mission is to bring comfort to your living room. She has tea parties on the internet through Twitch, so please check her out.
Wonderful.
And we'll see you next time for, I believe, the final episode. I'm not quite sure.
Please stop counting.
I need to stop counting and get back to writing. Yes. Cheers, everybody.
Cheers.